We're all done. I'm sorry. That was our last song. Remember, we're doing the other song at the close of the service. All right. Yeah, yeah, I know. Okay. I was like, okay, why aren't they going down? They need to get off it. And then could someone turn up the outside lights? One of the things we want to do is give you light to be able to read your Bible, because I know that most of you have your Bible on an app, and you can do that. But we're in Luke chapter 1. There we go. Yeah, that's what, and the one's on that side. Okay, that's enough probably. Okay, we didn't rehearse that very well. I apologize. We'll work on that. But, you know, this is one of my favorite stories. I love reading the story, especially I love all the Gospels. As you can imagine, I'm a pastor. But I love reading the story. This is the story of Mary and how God intersected her life and interrupted her life. And so I want to just read part of this to you. But here's the deal. What I really want us to catch is this. In the midst of Christmas, God wants to write a story. In the midst of your living, everything that's going on in your life, God wants to write a part of, wants to write the story of your life. He wants to engage. You know, and sometimes I, Kelly and I, one of the things that we'll do late in the evening is we'll watch a television show or something like that to kind of wind down. And sometimes I tell her, I says, look, I need one that resolves. Okay? I need it to resolve. I need it to come to an ending. I don't need a... Tune in next week for the next episode, because then we're going to have to watch the next episode. Everything's on DVR, so we just kind of can keep on watching. And I don't want that. I want something that resolves. And often I've thought about, you know, it would be great if someone, if when I watch TV, you know, everything in 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever the time frame of that particular show is, everything gets resolved. Unless they want to do a sequel. I know that, okay? But they always, all the issues get settled. And I think that's what I need. I need a director and a script so that everything will get resolved by the end of the day. And the reality is that God is writing his story. And the question is will, he's inviting us to be a part of that. And the question is will we engage with that? And I love this story of Mary, because Mary obviously made room. She made a lot of room. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, she's a young girl. She's betrothed to a guy named Joseph. You're going to hear about it. Let's just read it in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, Elizabeth was her cousin, okay? And we find that out in the gist of all this, but she's a cousin of it. And Elizabeth's pregnant, okay? She's an older woman, and now she's pregnant. She couldn't have children all of her life. Everyone presumed that she was never going to have babies, and now she's pregnant because God is doing something new. And here's what happened. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now that's a powerful thing. The angel went to her and said these things, and Mary, verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I want you to remember that word, words. She was greatly troubled at his what? Say it with me, words. Words. That's to become focal in this whole story of words and how God accomplishes his words. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Well, let's just look at the greeting. Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now, when I see that phrase, the Lord is with me, with you, I hear that. And it's coming from the angel of the Lord. Now, this is the spokesperson of God. This is representing the very presence of God and God intersecting her life and saying, the Lord is with you. Do you ever feel like the Lord's not with you? You know, as a Christ follower, what we believe and we know to be true from Scripture is this, is that when you prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came in you. And so, therefore, the Lord is with you. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, I will never leave you or abandon you. The Father's going to send the Comforter who will be with you forever. So, greetings. The Lord is with you. That's the truth for you as a Christ follower. But let me ask you this question. Are there days that you don't feel like the Lord is with you? Remember, there's an Old Testament story of a guy. His name was just boom, went out of my brain. What was his name? He was hiding, and he was lifting up grain, and God called him. Help me out, somebody. What was his name? I said it Wednesday night. All right, never mind. It'll come to me. All right, but the reality is that his situation said, God's not with me. God's not with me. I'm hiding because our enemies are overtaking us. Our enemies, they are attacking us, and they're even stealing our grain. And the only way I can thresh the grain is to go down into a dry pit and hide from everybody to thresh the grain. And so he's, you know, when she hears this, the Lord is with you, she's possibly even thinking, look, don't you see we're of the poorest tribe of the Jews, and we're being oppressed by the Roman nation. We don't have any rights. We're the poorest of the poor. Our situation is so bad, and you're telling me the Lord is with you? It doesn't feel that way. It doesn't look that way. And it troubled her. And then, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, just look at that. I want you to just kind of look at that, these verses. Okay. Yeah, right there. Okay, look at this. The angel went to her and said, greetings, your... No, I want to go back. I'm sorry. Go further forward. There we go. One more. There we go. Now, Mary... I'm sorry. We're kind of a little... I'm a little confused. Okay, here we go. How will this be? Mary asked the question. Now, let's back up. What does he say? Can you imagine you're hearing this for Mary? You're hearing this for the very first time. Now, we've read this story. How many times? I've read it a bunch of times. But here's the... Mary heard these words. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. What? I would imagine, as a young woman who is betrothed to another man who realizes, I'm going to conceive. I understand how that works. I get that. And give birth. How is this going to happen? Now, earlier, the story earlier in Luke, when we looked at Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, Zechariah doubted the angel. But this is a different kind of question. She's asking, I'm a virgin. How will I conceive? I'm a virgin. She was asking, she's not saying, this is not a question of, I don't believe you. How is this all going to work? And listen to what she says. The angel answered, listen to what the angel said. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even, now let's just stop there, verse 35. Let's go back up one screen. Never mind. Okay, here we go. Verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, stop right there. He's explaining to her, this is the whole process. Now, if you think about it, the word overshadow, that kind of, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. When I first think about that, I think in terms of the way in which, our shadow, covers something. You know, you can walk to a certain spot in the sunshine and your shadow. It's the whole idea of this, the power of the Most High is going to be displayed in their life. That's the picture. The idea of being overshadowed is the power of God is going to be displayed in her life. So she's saying simply this, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called what? The Son of God. It's not going to be a boy like any other child. And then he goes on. He goes on to explain. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Verse 37 is key. For no word from God will ever fail. There's that word again. It's the idea of his words troubled her, and the angel came back and said, look, no word of God is ever going to fail. And as proof of that, I just want to tell you that your cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. Because when God speaks, he accomplishes his word. And look at her response. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled to me. Mary was simply saying, whatever you want to do, God, in my life. And that's the power of the Christmas story. The Christmas story. Now, but I also see in Mary this idea. I want to make room in my life for God to write his story. And immediately, what does she do? She takes a three-month sabbatical and goes to see Elizabeth. She takes a leave from whatever else is her responsibilities with her family, and she goes to her cousin Elizabeth's house. In verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. That's that word again. It's the idea God is going to fulfill the promises he made. God has already done that. The angel is pointing to that and saying, whenever God speaks a word, whatever I speak into your life, God is going to accomplish in your life. Luke is writing this gospel. And as I think about Luke writing this gospel, he's investigated. If you go back at the beginning of Luke, first chapter, he says, I had to talk to eyewitnesses and everything to find out all this detail. Here's what's interesting to me. Is chances are, you know, by this point in time, by the time that Luke is gathering all this information, John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, he's already been put to death. He's already been martyred. More than likely, Zechariah and Elizabeth were already old when they had the baby. So by the time he's an adult, 30-something years old, chances are by that point in time, they've already passed away. So Luke can't talk to John, and he can't talk to Elizabeth, and he can't talk to Zechariah, but he can talk to who? Mary. He can talk to Mary. He can talk to the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He can talk to her, and she can retell the story of everything that happened when she went to see Elizabeth. And I think about this song that she sang, and we put it into a song. You know that this came from Mary, not as a young woman too, but also as an older woman who looked back and realized God had written an incredible story in her life. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. Now, if she stayed 3 months and she got there in the 6th month, chances are she was there when John was born. She was there. She struggled with Elizabeth possibly in trying to understand what Zechariah was telling them, because Zechariah couldn't speak until the baby was born, until they named John. And then he could speak. She was there, and she got to see everything. How else would Luke get all this information about Zechariah and his response and the birth? There's only one way that Luke could get that information, and it's through Mary. Mary told her all these things. Mary was there when he was born. All of these things confirmed in her heart, God did this. God is active, and what God is doing right now, God is doing in me. And then I think about Mary post the cross, after Jesus has died on the cross and his resurrection, and now Luke is having a conversation with her. I don't absolutely know these things, okay? I'm just saying Luke investigated, and it seems reasonable to me that Luke probably talked to Mary about this situation, and he got all the description from her, and so I see the song as a little bit more mature than a 16-year-old girl who just found out she's pregnant with the King of Kings. I see the song as being something that's saying, "Hey, this is what I discovered in my walk with God. That my soul does glorify the Lord. My spirit rejoices. He has been mindful of our situation." Go back to when the angel proclaimed. Let's look at, there's a couple of verses I want to look at. Let's look at that next screen. The Lord God, this is, you know, the words of the angel were kind of unusual. He says, the Lord God will give him, this is the baby, we're talking about the baby, will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Now, giving him the throne of the father David, this is in full anticipation, the people were expecting that there would be one that would come and take over the throne of David. But then the angel takes a little bit of the description, kind of goes in a different direction, because what they had in mind was this, that there would be someone who would fulfill that role, who would come from David's line, his descendants, and he would rise up and become a political and military leader and take charge and set the table straight. And Rome would no longer be their ruler, and they would have their own nation, their own temple, their own place, their own neighborhood. Everything would be restored. Because that's what they were wanting. We want what we had back when David was king. And that was a big capital and lots of influence and military power and authority. And so this is what they were looking for. And when you hear these words, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, that fit exactly with their understanding. However, the angel took it in a different direction, and he said, he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Now, hold on a second. What happened to King David? He died. What happened to Solomon? He died. And every king after that, guess what? Their time comes to an end, because every king has an extent of their reign and then they die. But this king is going to rule, reign over Jacob's descendants forever. This is a different kind of kingdom that he's describing to this young Mary, saying, this Jesus will reign forever. And his kingdom, in case you didn't catch what I was meaning, he says it again. He says his kingdom will never end. So clearly, the angel is speaking about God ushering in a different kind of kingdom than we were anticipating. We were anticipating someone who would set everything right in our mind. Give us back the temple. Give us back the temple. That's what we want. We want a big, huge temple, and we want Jerusalem, and we want a free state. We want the country to be exactly the way it was when. And you fill in the blank, right? That's a lot. That's really, if you think about it, some of the way, that's the way we are, right? God, if I can only have it the way it used to be. And this is, man, everything just seemed to be absolutely right back when, fill in the blank. Now, I'm a little bit older than some of you, so therefore my back wing can, you know, really cover a lot of ground, you know? But for some of you, you think, well, hold it, this is all I've ever known. But the reality is there's a sweet part of our life. Here's what's interesting. Kelly and I have always noticed this about people. You can almost tell when they graduated from high school by the way they wear their hair when they're 30 years old. It's like, you know, it looked good at 18, still looks good today, you know, and they keep moving with it, you know? Except for that one. What's that called? The mullet. That just died. That's just embarrassing. You know, it's sort of like polyester suits, you know, which will outlive everybody if you still have them. And so I'm glad that I don't have proof of that. I used to own. Anyway, we're not going there. But what's my point? My point is simply this, is we're looking for something that we used to be, and we want to restore it, and God's saying, no, I want to do something totally different. I want to transform your life. This is a new beginning. And God is calling us to make room for God to write a story, to write his story. And he invites them. He says, and all of this is focused on that. Look at the next thing. Mary's response, incredible. She says, I am the Lord's servant. What is a servant? It's the literal word, I am the Lord's slave. I want to do whatever you want me to do, God. May your word to me be fulfilled. I want you to do whatever it is you want me to do. This Christmas season, what would happen if you and I simply said that to God? Because God is our Lord. What would happen if you and I simply said to God, God, I am your slave. I want to serve you and serve you alone. Now, I don't want you to think too hard about this, but think about all the things you've got planned for this Christmas season. Everything that, you know, is on your list. And, you know, Santa's not the only person with a list. You know, there's a lot of people sitting in this room that have a list. Even if you didn't physically write out a list, you've got a list. There are things that you want to get done. You know that they have to be done. There are things that you want to accomplish. There are people that you want to see. There are events. You start looking at your calendar. Your calendar starts filling up, and you have to negotiate things a little bit better because you've got so much going on in your calendar, and it's very easy to not have any room for Jesus in the midst of all this. But Mary said what? I am the Lord's servant. My life is at your beck and call. Whatever it is you want to do, God, use me. In fact, I'm going to make room for that to happen. This Christmas, what would happen if you and I simply said that to God? Because God has spoken a word to us. He wants to accomplish something. He wants to use us to display his glory. Look at this next screen. Look what happens. Blessed is the one, she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Elizabeth said that to Mary, and Mary was living that. She was recognizing that all the pain that she went through, watching her son grow up, watching him in ministry, and then watching him die on a cross. Her firstborn, her son, dying on the cross. All of the pain of that. But she was blessed because she believed that God would fulfill his promises to her. I would love to be able to, you know, scroll back the clock and be able to sit down with Mary the day after Jesus was crucified and say, and just sit with her and hear her burden and her heart and her brokenness. I don't know. And again, I'm speculating here. Could there have been some doubt that day? Was he really the Son of God? Did this really happen? Did I really understand all this? But he's dead. They killed him. They put him in a tomb. But God made a promise to her. And God fulfilled that. And Elizabeth was speaking into her, says, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord will fulfill his promises. You and I will be blessed if we simply believe God. If you believe what God says about who you are. If you're a Christ follower, did you know that God says you're loved? If you don't even know Jesus as your Savior, guess what? The Bible says God loves you. For God so loved the world, he loved you so much that he sent his Son to die for your sins. That's the reality of Scripture. That's what everything in the Bible is speaking toward, is an expression of God's love for us. God loves us. He cares about you. He cares about your situation. He knows you. That's what God's Word says. God's Word also tells us that if you're a Christ follower, that you are part of the family of God. You are his child. You have been adopted into his family. You've been included. I never will forget the moment when we were going through the legal process with adopting one of our sons. We were in the courtroom, and basically the judge said, he said, do you understand that after this is assigned, he is your son, period. You can't undo this. This is for once and for all. And, you know, yes, I understand that. That's exactly what I understand. But the judge was impressing upon me the reality. He's a judge. He is your son, period. He's just a son just like you had him biologically when we signed these papers. There is no difference between his biological nature or his adopted nature. He is your son. That's why we always got tickled when people would ask us about Caleb and Kyle. And they say, so are they brothers? We said, well, yeah. And then they realize, they've asked the wrong question. What they meant to say is, are they biologically related brothers? And the answer is no. But it was always fun. So now you got that question out of your mind. You don't have to ask that question and embarrass yourself. But that's the reality of it. But here's the point. If a judge on this planet can make that proclamation to me, if a judge on this planet can make that proclamation to me and tell me the gravity of which that means that I can no longer, the day after this, I can't say, no, he's not my son. Then when God says, you're his child, tell me what judge on the planet Earth can undo that? Satan is a liar. He will tell you that you're not worthy to be his child. And guess what? You're not. Just say, yeah, you're right. I'm not worthy. But it's not something that I did. It's because God loved me. It's because his grace was extended to me. Because I believe the promises that God would fulfill for me. I am his child. I am a joint heir with Christ of everything that God has made available to me. And my whole life is wrapped up in what God is doing. This is the reality of this story. And Mary makes room in her heart. Mary makes room in her life and says, God, you write your story. Biggest failure of my life is I've been trying to write my own story. The biggest mistakes I've ever made are when I'm trying to write my own story. I got to get this. We talked about it this morning a little bit in our Sunday school class. Garrett, we were talking about the whole idea of God closing doors and that sort of thing. And I have a way. I can open a door that's been closed. You know, I know how to jimmy a lock. How about, did I just say that out loud? Yeah, I did. You know. But I know how to get it through a door that's been locked, you know. I know how to push a little bit harder or figure out another way to make this work. That's not what God's called us to, is figure that out. He said, look, I want you to be part of my plan. I want to write the story. And I want to, and as a Christ follower, he's calling us to follow him obediently. Watch this, look at this next thing. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come. How is this going to happen? Mary's saying, look, I hear everything else you're saying, But I also imagine that even as a young woman hearing this, I can almost hear after he says, "You will conceive," all of a sudden everything is going to wah, 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 wah. Because it's like, I'm going to do what? And Mary says, and the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." After Jesus died, after he was raised from the dead, after he walked with the disciples for 40 days and appeared to over 100 people in that time frame, and they recognized he wasn't just an apparition, he wasn't just a spirit that was kind of hovering around, he was alive, flesh and blood alive. He ascended to the Father, and the church was gathered together. I imagine it being at night. Maybe it was in the morning. Yeah, it was in the morning, because in the morning is early in the morning. They've been praying throughout the night. The church, the disciples were all praying through the night. They were waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did what? The Holy Spirit came on them, and the power of the Most High did what? It overshadowed them. The glory of God shone in them and displayed itself in their life. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in this church. That's what God wants to do this Christmas season for everyone that's here. He wants to display His glory in your life. You may have to let go of some of your dreams, but they're not God's dreams. And I believe that God has something bigger for you. God has something you could never, ever imagine, and probably something you could never, ever achieve, except that you have God's power living in you. When I think about this story of Mary, I recognize that she was opening her life to God's story. Will you pray with me right now? Just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want you to think about this. We're not going to sing a song or anything. I'm simply going to ask you to pray. To ask God. God, maybe you need to pray something like this. Simply say, "God, I recognize that my life has been filled with my list and my desires, and I need to simply set aside those things and open up my life to you."